Blog Talk Radio.
Well, Kingdom greetings and welcome to Tamayo Deliverance Ministries TDM Sunday Fellowship. I am excited about the word that is going to come forth today by Elder Alondra Williams. I know if you have not already done so, go ahead, get your Bible, get something to write with. If you are using those electronic devices, make sure it is plugged in because we are in for a treat. I'm just so excited with what God is about to do. And I have a scripture I want to read before I introduce the speaker. And we're going to do things a little different today because I feel that what needs to be given to us today is going to take time. It's going to take time for us to get it registered in our spirit, and it's going to change us. So I want to first start out by reading a scripture, and it's coming from Hebrews, the 10th chapter and the 23rd verse. And I know this scripture by heart, and I love this scripture. Wonderful, because the word brings life to us. The word encourages us. The word brings correction. And I'm going to read this from, my New King James Version Bible, Hebrews 10 and 23, and it reads, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." God is faithful. So again, I'm telling you, get ready, get ready, get ready. And I think T.D. Jakes says that or used to say it. I'm not 100% sure, but get ready, get ready, get ready, because truly we are in for a treat. Excuse me, on today, I want to welcome, and I see we have some callers, from out of USA. So thank you so much for tuning in. I know there's a huge time difference, but you could have been anywhere. You could have been in your bed sleeping. Or for those that work at businesses that you have to work at night, you could have been at work. But regardless, you are tuning in with us because you want to hear it hot off the press. You don't want to hear a repeat. So I am grateful to have you on the caller, and I see people, we've got people from different area codes, so thank you so much for joining us. And I'm going to, in a second, open the mic so that our speaker will be visible for us to hear. Father, we just thank you right now for this day. We thank you for this opportunity. Father, we thank you for your people that have tuned in to hear a word from you. God, I thank you for our speaker, our infuser for the hour. Lord, I just praise you, Lord God, for the word that you have given unto her, God. Father, I thank you that our hearts are receptive to receive that which you have for us. Father, I thank you right now that you have a free reign on this broadcast program. Lord, we thank you right now because we know, God, that it's not a program, but God, that your spirit rules this line. Your spirit rules the studio. Your spirit rules this program. So, Lord, we just thank you for your presence, oh God. We give it all praise. We give you all praise, all honor, and all of the glory for being with us on today. In Jesus' name. So I am going to open the line for our speaker, and that is Elder Alondra Williams.
Amen. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord.
I trust that everybody can hear me. To God be the glory.
Yes, ma'am. If you don't mind, I'm so sorry to interrupt you because I forgot to do the introductions. You know, I'm so excited, right? Who does that? Invite a guest and don't introduce, well, a person that's so excited to hear the word. So if you don't mind, if you would just give us two things, you whatever you want to share with us about you, but also how we can contact you, because if I'm not mistaken, once a month there is on Saturdays a Bible study or study group. Yep. However, she'll explain it. Y'all, let me just be quiet. Zip, go.
Okay, praise the name of the Lord. Good evening, good morning, good afternoon, everyone, whatever it fits for your locality, amen. My name is Elder Alandra Williams. I bring greetings to you on behalf of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and on behalf of Say So Ministries Incorporated. We are located in North Carolina, okay, and we could be reached. You can contact us via Facebook. Okay, there is a Say So Ministries Facebook page. And as Apostle was saying, beginning in July, this is our second series. We did one, another series that closed up, I think, in January. But so we're starting again in July. We will be doing a women's Bible study. It's on Zoom. And it's this Bible study. The last one was on Free of Me, on the book Free of Me. This Bible study is on becoming a ferocious warrior, is with the book can be purchased at Amazon. You can, you know, download the book in any kind of format you choose, through hard copy, ebook, Kindle, whatever. And we will be tackling that book. The book is written by Cora Jake Coleman, one of the daughters of Bishop T.D. Jakes. It is an awesome book. It is an awesome book. It talks to us about how we need to stand and become ferocious and not be fearful and not walk in, not walk as a victim, but walk victoriously. And so it is, I have truly been enjoying the book. You know, this is packed full of prayer and packed full of affirmations and packed full of word and packed full of just life lessons. So to God be the glory. That will be every third Saturday, starting July the 17th, from 11 to 12:30 a.m. Yeah, not a.m., p.m. 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Okay, to God be the glory. So if you have any questions, like I said, you can always find me on Facebook, or you could email me at SaySoMinistriesInc@gmail.com. Okay, so I am so excited. I just want to take this time just to thank my sister and my friend, Apostle Siobhan, for her obedience and diligence in doing the will of God and in her undergirding of those who God has instructed her to support, to encourage, to mentor, to come alongside of, and those he has given her to lead in this season. I thank God for a new perspective on the issues and circumstances that our way in this life. I thank him for an opportunity to speak from my heart, and I believe from his, on a topic that has become more familiar than I had ever imagined it would, and that topic is the pit. In order to continue today, I want to first briefly review some of what was shared in our time together a couple of months ago. A couple of months ago, we talked about lessons from the pit. At that time, we looked at the book of Judges in chapter 6. I shared there when we met, we talked about Gideon, and I shared then that Gideon was how God, Gideon was the Bible character, and I hate to say characters because these are people who actually live. But this Gideon was a person whose story in the Bible was something that God used for me. When he called me to ministry, I am the third of three sisters in ministry. I'm the youngest of three sisters. Both of my sisters had already been called, and I was great with it. Praise God, Lord. And then he called me. And wait a minute, Lord, what are you talking about? So he used Gideon's story to confirm to me that, yes, I am calling you. And, yes, I see a warrior in you. And, yes, I see there's something I have put there. You don't need to hide. You don't need to cower. You don't need to be afraid. Because the very first thing that I said when I realized that God was calling me was, I'm not worthy. And then God put someone in my path who spoke to them. You know, we are in and of ourselves, none of us are worthy, but we all are worthy through the blood of Jesus Christ. And that made a difference for me. So I'm here to encourage anyone and everyone who is walking in that same path, because when God places a mantle on you, whatever that mantle is, whatever that calling is, whatever that direction and that instruction is, it is weighted, and it takes God and God alone for you to walk out what it is that he's calling you to do. So let's take a look at where we were the last time. We met Gideon just where God needed him to be, in a physical, mental, emotional pit. Gideon's encounter with changed him from a scared, reluctant young man cowering in the wine presses of his life. Now, wine presses of his life, yes. He was in a physical wine press, but understand the symbolism here. These are those sunken places that seem to swallow us whole in desperation and frustration and despair. You could put a number of descriptions there. Okay, he became a powerful, confident warrior in God's army, able to take on and defeat the same formidable enemy, the Midianites, who had him once hidden, fearful, powerless, and starving. We defined a pit as the place or places, as the moments or seasons in our lives where God stretches us to cause us to die to self. It is, it was, or it will be, because we all will go through them, a season, a moment in our walk with Christ where we will come to understand and experience the passion or the suffering of Christ in varying degrees. For in Galatians 2:20, Paul reminds us that I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me. Glory to God. Let me say that again. Who loved me and gave himself for me. The pit, everyone, is a time of purging, emptying, revelation, remolding, reshaping, rebuilding, renewing our minds, our hearts, our attitudes, our ways. It is a time of building godly, Christ-like behavior and character. So it is meant to be a time of empowering, renewal, and above all, a time of growth. We talked last time that we talked about three things. You know, I use an acronym. Number one, P, it's personal, because my pit may not look like your pit. Number two, I, It will provide time for introspection. And number three, it is a time of refocus. It is where, or it should be, where we can make necessary changes needed to continue in the things of God. That's introspection. And number three, and I think I said three already, but all right, I'm getting my numbers mixed up, but there are only three, the acronym PIT. So T, it will take time. So we took some lessons away from the pit last time, but this left us, just some of us, with some lingering questions. We know its purpose. We know why there's a pit. But what does life in the pit look like while we are believing God for the change he has promised? That is an excellent question. You see, we all arrive at our pits in different ways and in different moments. But one thing you all have in common is that it is God ordained. And if we navigate it successfully, he will not only get the glory he desires and so richly deserves, but we will be changed, matured, and most importantly, set on the path which God has created us. But 2 Timothy verses chapter 1, verses 8 through 10 reminds us, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which he has given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. We will be afflicted." If you're following Christ, if you have picked up the cross, if you have denied self, you will be afflicted. But you can rejoice that there is purpose in all that God allows. So today, we take a look at another very familiar story from the Word of God. We take a look at Joseph's life in the pit. We will be looking at his life in the pit from the book of Genesis. We're going to look at several chapters, chapter 37, maybe a little in 39, a few verses in 42, and chapter 50. We meet him as a 17-year-old young man in chapter 37. He's excited about a dream that God has given him. Now, right away, we can see that Joseph's situation is vastly different than Gideon. Joseph was greatly favored by a father who knew and loved and was actively serving the Lord and had taught his many sons to do the same. He was not living in an atmosphere filled with paganism or idol worship as Gideon had been. In verses 3 through 5 of chapter 37, the backdrop is set. Joseph is loved deeply by his father, yet hated fiercely by his brothers, quote unquote, favor on his life. Take a look. I'm going to read verses 3 through 5. "Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because He was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that his father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. I mean, they couldn't have a civil word toward him. This is your brother. Yes, they had two different mothers, but they had the same father. They didn't want to have anything to do with him. And Joseph dreamed a dream. This is verse 5. And he told his brother, and they hated him yet the more. Lord, help me, Jesus. Come on now. How many of us can relate to being despised, disliked, disdained in circles of relationships simply because God's favor is on us? It would appear at times that our very presence in certain circumstances or situations launches forth the fiery darts of the enemy of jealousy, envy, accusations, put down, criticism, etc., etc., etc. How many of us make the same mistake that young Joseph made in sharing our hearts with those around us, hoping that our excitement, our zest, our zeal, our desire to please God will be shared by others that we should be able to trust, that we should be able to confide in, or from whom we seek counsel? How many of us have had a dream or a vision birthed in our hearts by God? Come on now. Maybe something was spoken to you by a man or woman of God, or God illuminated his word to you in such a way that it became rhema, and you didn't or couldn't wrap your head around it at the time. So you sought counsel from someone who you trust, a leader, a mentor, a sister or brother in the ministry, who you discern could or would be a blessing to you in that moment. Glory God. Look at verse 10 and 11, still in chapter 37. And he told it to his father. This is Joseph talking to his father about the dream. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the thing. Now I want to stop right here because, yes, he was rebuked by his father, but his father, the scripture says, observed the thing. In other words, I need to think about that. He didn't understand it. It did give him pause. Joseph's brother's envy was nothing new, but his beloved father was not quite able to wrap his head around the outlandish claim of him. And he was not able to wrap his head around this outlandish claim of him and Joseph's mother bowing down to their young son. He was like, excuse me, I'm the daddy. I'm not bowing down to you. This seems outrageous, inconceivable. However, Jacob observed the thing. He pondered these things in his heart, just like Mary, if you think about Mary at the birth of Christ. Let's look at Luke 2, verses 15 and 19. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Verse 19, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. She was amazed that God had chosen her to do this. Neither of these people, Jacob nor Mary, understood what God was saying or doing at that moment in time. But because it was God doing it, though they did not openly share their thoughts, like Jacob didn't openly share his thoughts. And like Mary, she didn't openly share her thoughts. But they both left room in their mind and in their heart and in their spirit to believe. And you know, sometimes in our pit, or as with Joseph's situation on his way to his pit, see, he didn't know that he was on his way to the pit. Sometimes we don't know we're on our way to the pit. But sometimes that's all we need. We just need somebody just to give pause. But sometimes all we need is to give pause. I don't know how you're going to do this, Lord. What? You said what? But, okay, Lord, I'm just going to ponder that. I'm just going to hold that close to me. So here's some things to keep in mind in our life in the pit. Number one, timing is crucial. You see, Joseph had absolutely no idea what his dreams meant. But he trusted God that somehow they would come to fruition. Now, I didn't get into the dreams because, you know, it's pretty, you know, bottom line, you know, most of us know about the dreams. I didn't deal with that, you know, very, you know, specifically. But when it's all said and done, they were going to be bowing down to him. And Joseph, in his excitement or in his being naive, being immature, I don't believe that he was prideful or anything. There's no indication in the scripture that he was prideful. You know, but in his exuberance, he shared. But he shared with the wrong people, and he shared at the wrong time. You see, he was seeking help. He was seeking clarity. And he was seeking understanding. But he, in his physical and spiritual immaturity, was not seeking it from the right sources. He needed to seek answers from God. It was a God-given dream. God, what do you mean by this? God, how is this going to happen? God doesn't give us all the information. You know, as my former pastor would say, that he talks to us on a, he gives us information on a need-to-know basis. But Proverbs 4, verses 5 through 7 talks about wisdom and understanding. Verse 5, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Verse 6, forsake her not, talking about wisdom, and she shall preserve thee. Love her as she shall keep thee. Verse 7, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. That Joseph, in his immaturity, in his naivete, did not quite understand the timing of God. We have to make sure that we are in the timing of God. So here's the next thing to keep in mind in our, when we consider our life in the pit. Number two, sometimes others can see your gifts before or even better than you can. So let's take a look at Genesis 37:16-20. Now, to set the stage here, he's already told the brothers about his dream. They hated him even more. The brothers were sent away to tend the flocks or that or something of that nature. And Jacob sent Joseph to check on his brother. Now, even though Joseph was hated by his brothers, he didn't return the hatred. He seemed to have loved his brothers. He, even though they had rebuked him, even though they were never kind to him, he did not return that. He didn't return evil for evil. So he willingly went looking for his brothers. His father told him to go look for his brothers, and in obedience, he did that. So here's verse 16. And he said, I seek my brother. He's talking to someone else. I seek my brother. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flock. And the man said, they are departed hence, for I heard them say, let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brother and found them in Dothan. And when they saw him afar off, glory God. Even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. See, they've already peeped this whole card. They already see the giftings that's working in him. 20, come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit. And we will say, some evil beast devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dream. Glory God. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. Verse 19. And they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. Verses 18 and 19 lets us know that there will be those who will only have a glimpse of us in the natural world, but who in the spirit have already picked up on the callings and the giftings that God has placed upon us. Sometimes to our detriment, like with Joseph and his brothers, but God also uses people and circumstances as places of growth in our lives to call these gifts and mature, fine-tune, and sharpen them. This is what life in the pit looks like. Now, I want to stop here because I had a former pastor who had the gifting of seeing the gifts in others and called them forth. I thank God often for her mentorship, for her leadership, and for her obedience to God. She was not intimidated by the giftings of others because she was confident in who God had made her to be. And sometimes people can see different things in us, and for whatever reason, they're intimidated, it brings forth their insecurities. I don't know what, all kinds of things jump off. But to God be the glory for those that God places in our lives who are willing to be the Naomis to the Ruth. Glory God. And I thank God for that. Your prayer in this season, if you are in a pit, consider asking God to show you those people who should be, who he has ordained to walk with you in this season. Oftentimes, it is not the people that we think will always, yes, some people will always be there, but it's not going to always be those same people. God will anoint people. God will appoint people for different seasons in our lives. So you see, although Joseph at this point had not reached the pit that his brothers would throw him into, they had already devised a plan in their hearts to circumvent God's plan for his life. He was already walking in the reality of what life in the pit looked like in the minds of his haters. So, next thing you need to remember, number three, God can and will use even your enemies to bring forth his purpose for you in the pit. But don't miss this. Please don't miss this. His brothers hated him. But even in the midst of that, right when things look like all is lost, they're about to kill him. They're thinking about how they can kill him. God will raise up an advocate, a ram in the bush, so to speak, to thwart the plan of the enemy. You see, the enemy's plan was to kill him. The enemy's plan is to kill you. Kill, steal, destroy. Nothing has changed. That's still his tactic. He is on his job 24/7. His plan is immediate or sudden, excruciating death or annihilation at the hands of your hater, whether it be a physical death or an emotional death or a spiritual death or a psychological death. In this instance with Joseph, they wanted to kill him physically. But for Joseph, God raised up his brother Reuben. And in verse 21, it says, and Reuben heard it, heard them devising a plan. And he delivered him out of, his hands and said, let us not kill him. And Reuben said unto them, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands to deliver him to his father again. Reuben probably had the most reason to be jealous or envious of Joseph, because according to Hebrew custom, he was the eldest son. He, as the eldest son, should have been the one in the position of favor with his father. Yet, he was the one brother with any semblance of compassion in the heat of this moment. Thus, he devised his own plan to rescue his brother without the knowledge of his bloodthirsty siblings. How many of us know that God will use unlikely people to help us in our times of difficulty and challenge? Because he can change the heart. He can make someone who has been your enemy suddenly do things. I mean, they are compelled to bless you. They don't even know why they're blessing you. But because it's a part of God's plan, because it was not God's plan for Joseph to die in that pit. Amen? So let's take a look. Follow the story to Genesis 37, 28 through 22 to 28. And it came to pass when Joseph was come unto his brother that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him, and they took him and cast him into a pit. And the pit was empty. There was no water in it. See, when we get there in that pit, sometimes things look barren. Sometimes things look dry. We're wondering, wait a minute, Lord, I did what you told me to do. What is going on? Why am I here? Verse 25, and they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead, with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. Now, to them, it just looked like that these people just happened to come back. But we know that they didn't happen to come back because God set that in place. So here by verse 26, another brother has some kind of semblance of verse 26. And Judah said unto his brother, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. Oh, he's coming to some realization. And his brethren were content. Okay, well, we won't kill him, but just be rid of him. Then there passed by Midianites merchant men, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. You know, they figured, okay, well, we're not going to kill him, but we're going to send him away to Egypt. And that old thing about him talking about we're going to bow down to him or whatever, he's going to be a slave. He's going to be the one that's going to be bowing down. Number four, here's another thing to remember in your life in the pit. Your gifts work in the pit, too. There were two prominent gifts that propelled Joseph into the pit set for him by his enemies. These same two gifts guided him successfully for more than 13 years of life in the pit. Joseph was 17 when he shared this dream that he had with his brothers. He was at least 30 when he stood before Pharaoh. So understand, as I said in the first teaching in our review, the pit will take time. How much time is up to you and God, basically God. But we can extend our time in the pit when we do not manage it, navigate it properly. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. So why? How? Because Romans 11:29 reminds us the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. It doesn't matter where you go. It doesn't matter what you're doing. The gifts and calling that God has placed in you, has placed in me, are not unto repentance. Just like there are spiritual laws in the earth, sowing and reaping, whether you're following God or not, it is a spiritual law in the earth. If you sow, you'll reap. The giftings and the callings that God has placed on our lives are without repentance. So what are these gifts that I'm talking about? The gift of favor on Joseph's life. That was the first gift. In verse 23, it says that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him. See, this coat of many colors was symbolic of the Father's favor. Don't miss that, of the Father's favor. Come on now. Our Father's favor bestowed upon Joseph. His brothers foolishly thought that stripping Joseph of this piece of clothing would destroy the favor he experienced and walked in. Many of our haters think if they make the situation hard enough for us, then we cannot walk in the favor of God. They don't understand that it's not a physical thing. It is not a natural thing. We serve a supernatural God. They did not understand that it was more than a physical piece of clothing. Their father, Jacob, was only an instrument of God acting out the divine favor God had given Joseph. This favor would not only keep him safe and alive while he lived in the pit, it would cause him to prosper wherever he went while in the pit and whatever he did. God's favor upon your life in the pit can do the same. Let's look at some examples from Joseph's life. Chapter 39, verses 1 through 4. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Israelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph. And the Lord was with Joseph. And he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. God was with him. He was a prosperous man. He was in the house of his master. And his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. Joseph served with integrity. Man could see that this slave was a man of honor. The favor was intact as a slave because Joseph served his master righteously. Then let's look at Joseph when he was unjustly thrown into the jail, accused of attempted rape by Potiphar's lying wife in verses 21 through 23. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Now, I wonder, this is just me dropping three dots here. Potiphar's wife came and said, hey, take look at this shirt. Look at this piece of clothing. He tried to rape me, and I had to get away, and he left his shirt and blah, blah, blah. And Potiphar, I don't know, it seemed like to me, I found it interesting, and I've always found this interesting, that he didn't kill him. He sent him to jail. I'm like, okay, somebody come and you have the power to do whatever you choose. But he didn't kill Joseph. The favor of God and God's mercy was upon him. And the keeper, verse 22, and the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hands that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. And the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Favor. He had the gift of favor on his life. Lastly, after interpreting Pharaoh's dreams that he had pondered over for more than 2 years, the same favor showed up in Genesis chapter 41, verses 39 through 44. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house. And according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. Come on now, Jesus. Glory to God. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it unto Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, bowed the knee. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. Come on now. Favor. Glory to God. When we're going through the pit, when we're going through difficulties and challenges, the favor of God is still upon our lives. We just have to know how to handle it. how to handle our situation. That's what the life in the pit looks like. Handling your business according to God's word. Gift 2, the interpretation of dreams. As we follow his journey on the way to and his life in the pit, we see that Joseph never again spoke of dreams prematurely. See, he learned his lesson as a 17-year-old. When he spoke prematurely of those dreams, it landed him in the pit. But if you go back, you continue throughout Genesis, you will see that he never did that again. He was careful to give glory to God for the interpretive gift he was given by God concerning dreams. In other words, Joseph learned the lesson of being mindful of to whom he shared his heart. The word of God tells us that we are to be slow to speak. James 1:19 puts it like this. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. So in Genesis 4, verses 2 through 8, Joseph has been falsely accused of attempted rape and has been cast into prison by Pharaoh's officer Potiphar based on a lie told by his wife when Joseph is given an opportunity to operate in a gift of interpreting dreams. In Pharaoh, verse 2, and I think I'm going to skip down to, let's see, I'm not going to start at verse 2. I'm going to skip down to verse 7. Okay, and he asked Pharaoh's officers, this is Joseph talking to Pharaoh's officer about the baker and the butler that have been thrown into prison. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his Lord's house, saying, wherefore look ye so sadly today? They said unto him, he's talking to the baker and the butler. What's up? What's going on with y'all? Why y'all looking like this? What are you doing here? And why are you looking like that? Okay, and they said unto him, we have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you. See, this is a stark difference from this. This is a big difference. The young 17-year-old Joseph was like, let me tell you the dream. I said, no, 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 no. But this Joseph immediately gave honor to God. Let's go even further by taking a look at Genesis 41, verses 14 and 16. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer in peace. He learned this lesson. We've got to learn this lesson. A friend of mine, well, actually my sister, says all the time, and I say it as well, a lesson not learned is due to be repeated. What are the lessons that God is trying to teach us? Learn the lesson. Life in the pit. The life in the pit will take us where God wants and intends for us to be. Life in the pit will absolutely not be easy. Let me say that again. Life in the pit will absolutely not be easy. But because the pit is orchestrated, purposed, and ordained by God, we can navigate it successfully. It was through the gifts of favor and the interpretation of dreams that God was able to elevate Joseph to the place of authority and prominence and influence. These are the same things that landed him there. Don't miss that. These are the same things that landed him there. They were jealous. His brothers were jealous because he had favor, and they were angry with him because he had had a dream. But only because Joseph was obedient to the things of God was he able to be elevated, promoted. Not once in Genesis 37 through 50, chapters 37 through 50, is there ever a mention of Joseph complaining or murmuring. He suffered righteously with integrity, and these are the virtues that shone brightly amidst all that he went through. What is shining brightly in our lives in the pit? That's just a question for reflection. When he was set up by Potiphar's wife, or when he was forgotten by Pharaoh's butler, who had promised to mention him to Pharaoh after Joseph had accurately interpreted the butler's dream, and he had been restored to his original position with the Pharaoh, Joseph continued to serve in the prison righteously. I keep saying the word righteously, in right standing with God, righteously and with honor. But as mentioned before, timing is crucial. God knew exactly when life in the pit would come to an abrupt end for Joseph, and he will do the same for each of us as we learn the lessons of humility, self-sacrifice, and serving others in integrity. If we puffed up, if we think it's all about us, if it is all we're doing is whining and complaining, our lives in the pit are going to be extended. Look at Genesis 41, verses 46. And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. I've already mentioned he was a young man when all this started. He was a 30-year-old man, full of wisdom, still full of favor, still walking in integrity, but he had learned the lessons that God had set forth for him to learn. So number five, I believe, again, sometimes in my numbering, sometimes say the numbers are more than one time, but number five, something that you need to remember. One last thing, I think this is the last thing we're going to remember about life in the pit. The dream does come forth. Hallelujah. The dream does come forth in God's time. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let me say that again. The dream does come forth in God's time. God has given you a vision. God has given me a vision. God has given us an assignment. He gave Joseph dreams. He didn't understand what to do with that dream at the time. He was immature and he was premature in sharing. But remember, that same dream that infuriated Joseph's brother so, remember the dream that set your haters on edge, it will come to fruition in God's time. Genesis 43, verse 26. And when Joseph came home, they brought him the present which was in their hand into the house and bowed themselves to him to the earth. See, Joseph had given them some things to do. And I'm not going to get into all of that. You know, his story is a very familiar story. So we know that his brothers came to him in Egypt, and they didn't know who he was, but he knew who they were. So he gave them all these different things to do. And then when it was all said and done, he revealed himself. Well, he hadn't revealed himself at that time, so they were still pleading their case. And they had talked to his servant, and Joseph wasn't there. He had given the servant, and he had given the servant or whoever some things to do with his brothers or for his brothers, and then he entered. When he came in, these same people who were wanting to kill him because he had a dream that they were bowed to him. They bowed themselves to him, to the earth. Those same people, glory to God, hallelujah, Jesus, that laughed at you, that laughed at me, those same people who thought you were crazy when you said you were going to start a ministry, who thought you were crazy when you said God had called you to do this, who thought you were crazy when God had spoken this and that and the other to you, those same people, glory to God. God can take those same people and use them to be a blessing to you. One thing about Joseph, he did not hold bitterness and unforgiveness in his heart. Forward to chapter 50 of Genesis, where we meet the mature, seasoned Joseph, who has revealed himself to his brothers and has provided a place for all of his family in Egypt, safe from famine, death, lack, and suffering. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, see, they were all with it and whatever, and they felt like, okay, as long as dad is here, you know, Joseph's going to be nice to us. So now Jacob is dying. So now they're scared. They said, when they saw that their father was dead, they said Joseph would peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. Because, see, they already know. They're still dealing with what they did. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, thy father did command, but so shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sins, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespasses of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept. Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face. Here we go. They're falling before him again. Now knowing who he is. Ha, come on now. That could preach right there. Okay. And they said, behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, I said all of this to get to these two verses of scripture. When Apostle asked me, did I have a scripture? These were the two verses I gave her. Chapter 50, verses 19 and 20. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Verse 21, now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you, hallelujah, and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. People, 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 don't miss this. Don't miss this. Our lives in the pit is all about us coming into who God has always known us to be so that we can save much people alive. We must remember, hallelujah, glory God, why Jesus came. Luke 9:19-10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus came to save us in the midst of our ugliness, in the midst of our cruelty. He died anyway. Joseph is a type of Christ in that he suffered at the hands of those who should have loved him, but instead hated him, just as the world that Jesus gave his life for hated him. And if we are joint heirs with Christ, we will travel the same path of hatred, rejection, humiliation, pain, and agony. But praise be to God, hallelujah, that our lives in the pit, just like Joseph, and just like our big brother Jesus, will reap much fruit. and will bring forth an eternal harvest in his name. Glory to God. I leave you with this scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Keep your focus on God. When you're in the pit, our lives in the pit have to be lives of integrity, have to be lives of honor, have to be lives of valor. We got to keep praising God. We've got to keep focusing on who God is. We've got to keep focusing on who God said we are. Whatever they do, whatever those haters do, Lord, forgive them. Jesus dying on the cross said, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Lord, have mercy. Jesus, help us, Lord God, to walk in that same level of forgiveness. Father, we thank you. Father, we bless you. Lord, we honor you today. We give your name the praise and the honor. Thank you for the pit, because we've learned that the pit is our friend. Thank you, Lord God. You purge those things off of us, out of us, Lord God, so that we can walk, Lord God, in the wholeness of life. Hallelujah, Jesus. We bless you, Lord God. We praise you, Lord God. We exalt you, Lord God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Lord, we thank you, Lord God. Be encouraged, my brothers, my sisters, be encouraged. Life in the pit is orchestrated. It is God ordained, and it is designed to bring him glory. Amen. Glory, God. Amen. Amen. Bless the name of the Lord. Amen.